So happy privilege to be back with you today and talk with you about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to read just a little bit from chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, from the 4th verse. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Here in the book of Matthew, we find that there is a wonderful lesson taught by Jesus. During the time of Jesus' ministry, Jesus said some of the most beautiful words that's ever been spoken. Never man spake like this man, the great and mighty Creator, God Himself, the great Holy Spirit, personified in a human form, walking the earth and helping mankind, doing good to all, and healing all, delivering all that was oppressed of Satan. Here we find in the book of Matthew, the words are written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What beautiful words. Right at this particular time, Satan was tempting Jesus. Jesus had went away into the wilderness for a fast, and for 40 long days he had not eaten. And here, after that he had finished his fast, all of a sudden we find Satan coming to him, and through his shrewdness, trying to subdue Jesus, doing everything possible to get Jesus to listen to his word so that he could become the master of Jesus. But Jesus was always watching. You know, the Bible tells us to watch and pray, lest we enter into temptation. And Jesus was always watching. Always watching, because he knew that one move, just one slip, would altogether do away with the plan of God and make the plan of God void. And man could not be saved. The blood could not be spilt. Because if Satan could find one place in Jesus, then it would not be a lamb without spot and without blemish, and the blood would not be sufficient for the atonement. So Jesus was ever watching, ever aware of Satan's cunningness. We find him here after 40 days, hungry, Satan coming to him, and Satan said, "If thou be the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. For it is written." And he began to quote the scripture to Jesus. But Jesus just turned and said, "It's also written." And he refused to heed what Satan had said to him. Then we find him, Satan still desires to overthrow the plan of God, struggling, doing everything he could to overthrow God's plan, knowing that this one man had come on the scene. Not one thing had Satan been able to do to get a part of his life or to defile him. And he knew that unless he could touch this man's life, one way or another, that he was forever finished in his plans. So that we find him the second time. He turns to Jesus and he takes him up on a great pinnacle. And here as he stands aloft, he quotes the scripture again to Jesus. And he says, "Cast thyself down from here. For thus it is written that he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest thou should at any time dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said, "It's also written, Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again, he outwitted Satan. But Satan still had not finished with his temptation. The Bible said he took Jesus up into a high mountain, exceedingly high. And there he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "All of these things are given to me and delivered into my hand, that I might give them to whomsoever I will. And if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you." Jesus said, "It's written, Satan, that thou shalt worship no other god but one God, and have no other gods before him. Thou shalt serve no other god but the Lord God." The Bible said Satan fled from him. You know, I really see something in that. There's several great lessons in these three temptations that Jesus was taken with. First of all, man feels the responsibility of life. And feeling the pressures of life and the responsibilities of life, if he's not careful, he will become so absorbed in the necessitated things of life, of bringing about securities for he himself and his family, that he will completely cut God out of his life. Satan always saying, you've got to have bread. You've got to have bread. You've got to have securities. And because of that, a lot of times we get into a great bondage. Not being able to trust God. Not looking to God. Not trusting God. See, we could just look to God and God would take care of that. The Bible tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto us. But we have such a tendency to try to make our own way that we fall into the hands of Satan. But to trust God is to be blessed. To trust God is to have the fullness of life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. The word abundant means filled up and overflowing. He is the Prince of life. God wants us to have life. The next thing I see in the lesson that was taught here, when Satan realized that he could not bind Jesus by the appetites of the flesh, he took him up on the pinnacle. And then he told him, he said, cast yourself down from here. In other words, show them who you are. Make yourself known. Let them know your great power. Demonstrate it, and then the world can see it. You know, that's another thing that men are caught in. They're bad about wanting people to know who they are. They're so prone to try to project themselves and to magnify themselves and let people know that there's something outstanding, that they have special abilities. And men go to great length to prove themselves. Men have taken many chances in life, doing great feats, dangerous feats, to try to show some greatness in their life. But you know, you don't have to do that. If there is a greatness in your life, it is Christ. And if there is a talent in your life, then Christ has placed it there. And the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. All you've got to do is settle down in God. Don't let anybody push you. Don't let anybody drive you. Settle down in God. And let the Lord do something for you. And God will magnify you, and God will bring forth your abilities, and God will show people who you are and what you are, and God will make you great. But you cannot do it yourself. You'll only fall into a snare when you try to do it yourself. So then, we should never try to project ourselves. Then another thing I see here, the third thing I see in the lesson that's taught by this temptation that came to Jesus, is that he took Jesus into this exceedingly high mountain. Here he showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. You know, when the devil can't get us on the first two rounds, that third one usually gets people. When they see the bright lights of the world, it's like a web that a spider has woven and the dewdrops of the morning has fallen upon it. And it's glistening like diamonds and like pearls. It looks so beautiful when a man's young. You know, when a woman's young, has everything to offer. And it seems like God has nothing to offer because we don't see the invisible things of the great treasure of God. But see, God has the greatest of all. And God is willing for us to have it. The blessing of the Lord maketh the rich. The Bible says, and addeth no sorrow. To seek God is to be rich. To seek God is to be blessed. To seek God is to have health. But see, we get sidetracked many times. But see, Jesus said, thou shalt have no other gods. For the scripture tells us that we should have no other gods. So then, we see another lesson here. If the world sparkles to you, what if you do get the world? The Bible said, if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what hath he profit? So then, God will give us all that we need. The Bible teaches that the world and all that's created in it is for you and I. It's for our purpose. And to have Christ is to have everything. To lose Christ is to lose everything. So then, let's seek God. Let's look to the Lord. And if we look to God, then we'll have everything. And God will bless us, save us, heal us, magnify us and everything will be well with us. This is what God wants. That's the way it ought to be. We don't need to run after the world. I hope these few things that I've said to you today will prove to be a blessing to you. And as always, I'd like to add to this little talk today a prayer. I believe in prayer, and I believe when we pray, I believe that God does something. I believe that God hears our prayer. I believe that. I've had God to heal my own body many times. My family, God has healed them many times. My friends. And we just received a beautiful report just yesterday concerning our TV programs and how that we prayed the prayer of faith and somebody on the other end received it by faith and reported that they were instantly healed, said they'd never experienced instant healing before, but they were instantly healed and they were magnifying God and telling their friends and people about it. These are the kind of reports that we get from time to time. It's such a wonderful way of doing things. God is for us. God is the abundance of living. We can have joy, peace, and abundance of life in Christ Jesus. Let us pray together. I want you to believe as I pray for you. And I believe God will do something for you. Father, Lord of heaven, as we lift our hands to Thee, Holy Father, believing that Thou art with us and that Thou doth hear us always, Heavenly Father, and Father, feeling the magnificence of Your great Spirit as we pray, I feel Your presence, Holy Father. I ask You to heal today, Jesus. Stretch out Your hands and heal today. Oh God, heal in the name of Jesus. May Thy Spirit today, that I feel here right now, go out to the lovely audience, Father, that's listening. Oh God, in whatever the sickness is, break the yoke. Move the evil powers. God, influence their life with the Holy Spirit. And dear God, bring peace and joy, happiness, prosperity, and righteousness above all things, Father. And heal in the name of Jesus for Your glory. I ask You to do it, believing that You'll receive our prayer, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that God heard our prayer. I felt God's Spirit as I prayed. And I believe that God heard our prayer. And I believe that if you'll believe with me and accept that prayer, that you'll confess Christ and confess the healing and receive the healing, and perhaps you'll write us a letter letting us know that God has done something for you. I'd like for you to write us a letter. Write us a letter. We'd like to hear from you. Not because we desire anything of you, other than we want to help you. We want your fellowship. Write us and let us know. And let's join together for a greater, more abundant way of life. A greater reaping in Christ. That you and I and our loved ones and those that we come in contact with may know the greater benefits in life. And that we might also have access to the one and only eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.